We're here to speak with Jennifer Clymer, who is a director of Channel 22 at the Motion Picture and Television Fund, a longtime producer, has been here at the stations since 2006, where she's been producing internal television programs. And it's a pleasure seeing you, and I really, really appreciate your time.
Thank you. It's very nice to be here.
And I also wanted to thank you for the tour of the campus itself, as well as the station, which has moved into its new larger location.
We are very pleased with our new home. We've been here for about a year and have settled in. Like the recording booth that we're in right now was, when we moved a year ago, it was a reception booth. So we put walls up, and Marcus Marietta, who is our post and production audio specialist, he built this room, like all the baffling, that was all him. So this space has taken on a new kind of magic for the residents that live on this campus. Like, this is the retirement campus for the entertainment industry. There are about 230 people that will live here tonight. And maybe 25, 30% of those people are still very active creatively, because that passion that brought you to this ridiculously dangerous industry, like, it's so volatile. The entertainment industry is one of the least stable industries I think you could ever want to get into. It takes a very special kind of internal gusto. And just because you are retired from it doesn't mean that that drive doesn't still live within you. So our mission has been for the past 13 years to feed that fire of the people who live here, because it's not a place like this retirement community isn't your typical place where you just come here and you wait and you wait for your final day. This is a place you come to live.
Thank you. Let's jump to the amazing story of the making of Matt and Maya, the short film. And what we wanted to start with is, give us some background on how the initial script and the idea came about. And I believe that came about through a resident, John Huntley, as well as what you believe inspired him to do it, what challenges he had to overcome to put this together.
John is one of our youngest residents. Typically, the people who are living on this retirement community are over 80. They're over 80. They're as old as 108 now. Sorry, 108. John is in his 40s. Well, as of last week, he turned 50. But when we began this project, he was in his late 40s. He moved here because he was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease. He's got ALS. And when he first moved here, after having been taken care of at home for a few years after the diagnosis, he still had some motor skills in his left hand and was slightly verbal. His wife could interpret what he was saying, but he's really at a place where he's nonverbal now, and he's down to very, very limited mobility in one of his fingers in his left hand. He can still move his head and his neck a bit, but he communicates through a technology called eye gaze. So years ago, when this project first began, he was editing a project of his own because he could control his computer with his eyes. Marie Ercuti, who is one of the people that works for me, was working with John on a nonfiction piece that we did. And I came in to give him notes. And when I approached this room, my thought was, I know how painstaking it is to edit, period, when you have all of your faculties, when you can use three fingers to do a shortcut in your editing software. When you are painstakingly using your eyes to control your cursor, that it's so much of an arduous process. How am I going to give this guy notes to change an edit that I know took him so long to do? But when I sat down with him, he had notes for me. He had new voiceover he wanted done. He wanted pickup shots done. He wasn't happy with all of the shots that we had gotten. And it dawned on me, this guy is still fully here. I have to I have to just erase the wheelchair. I have to erase the horrible thing, the betrayal that his body is doing to him, and just deal with him as I would deal with anybody else, because that is the biggest gift that I could give to both of us for our working relationship. So I asked him if this process was something that was good for him, and he typed out this was the best medicine for ALS. So in that moment, you know, your response has to be, great, well, we keep this treatment going. If this is the best medicine, we got to keep doing it. So he said that he wanted something more challenging, though, than the nonfiction that we had given him. And I said, okay, you have to write your own script then, because the scripts that are coming from the other residents on this campus are very personal to them, and they want to be involved very heavily in the post-production. And I couldn't see a way forward that that kind of a collaboration would work. So it had to be John's own story that he was editing on his own. So that's how it started.
Wow. And now that the decision was made to move forward with the making of the picture, from what you recall and all the recollection of the process, what made that project unique and special? And talk a little bit about who was involved in making the film.
So fortunately, Marie Arcudi stayed with us. She transitioned from full-time to one day a week, but this project was very personal to her as well, because she had collaborated with John. So she took over filming the making of this short film. I turned to a number of different residents on the campus, because again, that's part of our mission. We want to inspire and give people something to strive for. It's about giving people purpose to be excited for tomorrow. So one of our residents was a first AD in his career. And my thought was, he could be a director. He's worked closely enough with directors. Let's see if he's interested and then give him a shot. There were other residents in long-term care that John had specifically written these roles for. So he had approached them to be cast in it. There were employees who he had written, because this was a true story for him. And the true story, that's a whole other podcast that we should get into. But the people in the true story, he wanted them to play themselves in the short film. And these are not actors. These are caregivers. They are the last people who are interested in being in front of a camera in any sort of way. There are many, many people that work on this campus that have worked here for decades. And part of the reason for that is they are the yin to the yang of the ego of the people they are serving. Like they don't really want the thanks. They just want to be of service. So to get them to be in front of the camera was it was not as difficult as it should have been, because John is the one who was asking them, and they were doing it for John. There were other people around the campus that we had encouraged to be in the cast. The day before we were ready to shoot, after which we had already turned to this incredible volunteer community at MPTF, which, if you're listening, you can become a part of. This volunteer community had all been like geared up and were ready to go to shoot on a Saturday and a Sunday. And then we were going to take a, you know, rest weekend. So we shot alternate weekends for about 8 weeks. We were ready to go the day before our first shoot. Our lead actress dropped out. She realized that the script was just too personal for her. And I had my first mini panic attack of my life. Took a deep breath and thought, there are other actresses on this campus that, if I play it the right way, will come in and save the day. And I approached one person who was relatively new to the campus and played it to the hilt of like, imagine you're on Broadway and it's 7:50 and the lead actress has just broken her ankle and you have to save the show. You have to save the show. And not only did Valerie come in and save the show, she really was a beautiful embodiment of Maya.
One last question. What would be what do you believe would be the impact, or has been the impact, of the film on the residents as well as the community at large?
We had a cast and crew screening here in July, which I will direct you to where the making of the film is. You should see the hurdles that we had to overcome. But to see the residents in our theater watching their own film, seeing their friends and neighbors up on the screen, seeing their own faces, you know, 30 feet high, it was inspirational. And it's so inspirational that John has already written another script. It's almost like a mill, you know, the water wheel, that it keeps self-generating.
Right.
Yeah. Every time a project finishes, it inspires three more.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
One last thing. If people wanted, as you mentioned before, if people mm-hmm. wanted to get more involved in supporting Channel 22, as well as the other activities on campus here, or the Motion Picture and Television Fund in general, where can they go?
You can go to mptf.com. You can go to mptf.com/donate. You can also go to our YouTube site. It's YouTube/mptf. There's a lot of content there. This is an industry that takes care of itself and has done it for almost 100 years. It started in 1921, and to carry on that legacy is really, really important. And you have done that personally as well, and I want to thank you for all the support that you've given to MPTF over the years.
It's my pleasure. Thank you, Jen, for your time.
Thank you.